awesome. Isn't this awesome?
All right.
I'm not used to being on camera. Oh, my God. An awesome setting. And every time I've come over here, I've always looked forward to seeing Pastor Foster, and just, you know, everything's different, but you know, isn't it so everything's the same. Well, he's a special man of God, wasn't he? So let's pray, and Lord, we thank you, we do, and Lord, I can't let Pastor Jeff down. His reputation as a prophet is on the line. And Lord, even though he doesn't know how to spell his name properly, we just pray that you would bless him and this ministry, and Pastor Ken and his ministry down there in Miami. We thank you, Lord, for them. We think of them often. Just thank you that they're here in this amazing state of Florida, and they have a vision to bring the Word of God, Lord, into a lot of people who are not always that interested. But God, we thank you that there was a time when we weren't that interested either. And you faithfully planted and had people sowing in our lives. So we just pray, God, that you would strengthen these ministries and these men of God, and just bless them, Lord. And we thank you for Pastor Shadow being here, and for his amazing covering over all of us, Lord. As we hear him on the internet, we read his books, we listen to his tapes again and again. And so we just pray, Lord, that you would, as we look into your word, bless it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I remember once Pastor Schauer came and visited us on the other side of Florida.
Yeah.
And we were in a restaurant, and I asked him, I said, "What is it like to replace Dr. Stevens?" And I was so impressed with his answer, because he said, "I don't. No one will ever replace Dr. Stevens."
Right.
And he said, one of the other things he said was that we're going to rehear, relearn, and redo everything all over again. So I listened to Pastor Stevens' his classes in the morning. That's how I start my day every day. I just wanted Pastor Shelley to know that. I remember that, and boy, what an amazing heritage we have.
Amen.
In Christ. And there is not an area of our being that Christ does not have a provision for. He is concerned with every single part of who we are. And so I'd like to read with you in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Because As I said, I've been listening to Dr. Stevens, and this is what he was talking about. So I've been thinking about it all week and meeting and talking with people who have problems in this area of their lives. So I'll just share it with you, and I'm not thinking about anybody in particular. I'm just thinking about what the Bible says and how I want it in my life. And you wouldn't be here if you didn't want it either. So 1 Corinthians chapter 6, it says, verse 12, all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient or helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power or the influence of anything but Christ. Meats for the belly and belly for meats, but God shall destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for fornication or for sexual immorality, but it is for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. So we all know that in the Ten Commandments, the seventh commandment says what? Thou shalt not commit adultery. I was just thinking that, you know, like, what would our society be like if everybody obeyed that commandment physically, on a soulish level, and then also mentally? It would be radically different, wouldn't it? And it would be amazingly different. And yet, that's what Christ would have us. He says, the body is not for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. Now go with me into 1 Thessalonians, because I saw something there that was like, it kind of hit me. I don't want to speak wrong, but in the 4th chapter, in the 3rd verse, it says, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and what? And honor. Not in the desire of personal desire, but not in the lust of concupiscence. I don't know how to say that word. So, the devil wants to destroy honor. And he's out to steal it from us and produce criminal behavior in our minds, in our speech, in the way we treat others, and the way perhaps that we... you know, we act, the way we dress, and so forth. But God, here he says that it's the will of God that we should know how to possess our vessel. And that extends to not just our physical being, but also to our hearts, our minds, our emotions, and our decisions, our spirit. And I, on the way down here, I was, you know, texting and chatting. I was breaking the law, but there was a fella, a 26-year-old dentist from India, who was involved in a Christian ministry over there. And he read something that I wrote on in one of my posts, and he says, you know, he messaged me and said, "Can I talk to you?" And he went on to pour out his heart about how he was tormented in this area, bombarded with thoughts, with feelings. And he didn't know how to, didn't know how to deal with it. And I was like, God, what do I say? And I pointed him to these two scriptures and these two passages, and I said, you know what? One day you may want to get married, and you'll want to give to your wife honor, a treasure, and she'll want to give to you the same thing, a treasure. And you can see how powerful and wonderful it is, because why would Satan tempt her? Why would he be after it so much to destroy and cheat you of a blessing in your life? And praise the Lord, I think I made an impact on his life. He didn't look at it that way. He didn't see it as a gift of God that is valuable and brings treasure and honor into his life, and that it's something to be protected and valued and highly, highly esteemed. And this goes into every area of our lives, doesn't it? Sexuality, but every area of our lives are gifts from God, where he desires to glorify himself and bring into our lives something supernatural, something divine, something that is uniquely ours in Christ, so that we can go out and be a blessing. So we have something to impart to others. So that we can see what? The works of the devil in 1 John chapter 3. Torn down and destroyed and removed from our hearts and from our lives. And that's why we need to be involved in this kind of ministry that teaches the Word of God. That teaches the Word of God without pounding you or blasting you, but bringing it forth in a way that it becomes tangible substance in my heart and tangible reality in my spirit, and brings me to a place where I begin to participate in what God wants to do and be in my heart and in my life. So I hear a soul-winning message like we heard on Wednesday night, And it doesn't make me feel guilty, because I begin to measure myself and begin to think, like, why don't I do it more? And why don't, But no, it comes with the grace. Amen. That Jesus said to his apostles, at the very beginning, if you'll follow me, I will make you into something that you are not.
Beautiful. Amen. Praise God.
So if we look at our lives, and perhaps we're disappointed or perhaps we're not, but we all go through times like that, but we can come to God and he can take the waste places, the damaged zones. He can clean out the rubbish and begin to do and to lift us up and bring back honor and glory and substance and new things in our hearts and in our lives. And that's the only way I can be a pastor. That's the only way I can be a Christian.
Amen.
Because I would have cast it in a long time ago. if it wasn't for the God of all grace coming again to bless me to strengthen me, to empower me, and to do something in my life that I could never do. I like that verse in Ephesians. I'm sure you do, in the 20th verse, the 3rd chapter. I said that because someone's taking notes now.
Backwards.
And you know it, sir. But look it up sometime in the Amplified. He is what? He is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we can ever ask or think. So, I mean, every once in a while I run into a guy who has a dreamer church. Yeah. Come to our church and God will give you all your dreams. And I don't want what I dream. I do not want what this deceitful heart covets, lusts after, or is interested in. It looks at me. I don't want what I deserve. He's like scratching his head. I want something what? Exceedingly, abundantly, above and beyond all that I could ever ask or think. And that's why we come together. Amen?
Yes.
Let's just pray. Father, we love you. We do. And we're excited for all that the day is going to bring forth. And we just ask you to open our hearts and our lives and our spirits like never before, that we might receive the engrafted word which is able to deliver us from everything that self is, everything that the flesh can conjure up, everything that Satan can throw at us, Lord. Help us, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.